Hi, I'm Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We often talk about religion on Fresh Air, not to convert anyone, but to have an ongoing conversation about how different religious traditions address the most fundamental questions about life, death, joy, and suffering. On these CDs, you'll hear highlights of interviews with people for whom faith is a central part of life, and people who've devoted their lives to studying sacred texts. But you'll also hear from others who've left their faith, who don't believe in God, and who fear religion often seems to do more harm than good. Karen Armstrong has become famous for her books about the religions of the world, including A History of God. But before she became a scholar of religion, she was a nun. She entered the convent in 1962 as an idealistic 17-year-old, expecting to lead a life of real meaning and to find a radical freedom within the convent. The religious life also offered a welcome escape from teenage social demands. But life in the convent wasn't what she expected. Her community was founded in the 19th century, and customs that made sense then struck her now as cultural relics of the Victorian age, lacking real spiritual value. And she chafed against the emphasis on obedience. In 1969, 7 years after entering the convent, she suffered a breakdown, feeling she had failed to find God. This interview with her was recorded in 2004, after the publication of her memoir, The Spiral Staircase, about leaving the convent and re-entering the world. When you were in the convent, you started studying at Oxford University, where you were taught to think critically and challenge all assumptions, and then you'd have to go home to the convent where you were taught to be obedient and never challenge. And it's impossible to reconcile those two worlds, isn't it?
Yes, and I was feeling myself continually in that first year at Oxford split apart, because part of me was absolutely reveling and luxuriating in the freedom to read books and read whatever I wanted, knowing this was my job. It was just intoxicating to me. I loved it. And yet, on the other hand, there was this deadly weight of disapproval if you sort of wanted to try out your newly honed critical skills on the nuns at home, because we were supposed still to be obedient. And I wanted to stay. There was no sense that I was yearning to escape. I was terrified of leaving.
Many Americans had never heard of black liberation theology until the controversy surrounding Barack Obama's former pastor, Jeremiah Wright. Dr. Wright has said the vision statement of his church, Trinity United Church of Christ, is based on this theology. It started with the 1969 publication of James Cone's book, Black Power and Black Theology. Cone is an ordained minister in the African Methodist Episcopal Church. He's a distinguished professor of systematic theology at Union Theological Seminary in Manhattan and has written several books on black theology. I spoke with Dr. Cone in March 2008. Well, when you started black liberation theology in the 1960s, you were inspired, among other things, by Martin Luther King and by Malcolm X.
Yes.
Martin Luther King was a reverend. Malcolm X left the church and converted to Islam.
Right.
Talk a little bit about how they affected your theological thinking. Let's start with King.
Yeah, King gave black theology its Christian identity. And in that sense, I'm a minister in the African Methodist Episcopal Church. Now, Malcolm X, who was not a Christian, as you say, he gave black theology its black identity. And this is important, too, because we were black before we were Christian. And in a white supremacist society like America has been, 246 years of slavery, 100 years of segregation and lynching, in a society where white domination is so powerful on the minority group and where black has been defined as evil and as negative, then we have to turn that understanding of black on its head and see ourselves as loving ourselves and not hating ourselves.
After leaving the cast of Saturday Night Live, Julia Sweeney started creating and performing autobiographical monologues. In God Said Ha, she told the story of how she was diagnosed with cancer as her brother was dying of cancer. She managed to make the story both funny and moving. I recorded this interview with her in October 2006 about her monologue, Letting Go of God. It describes how she rededicated herself to the Catholic Church at the age of 38, but found the deeper she got, the more skeptical she became of the Bible and religion. She now considers herself an atheist. In this excerpt of Letting Go of God, Sweeney is describing her reactions to closely reading the Bible. She's found the Old Testament surprisingly disturbing and is looking forward to carefully reading the New Testament and meeting Jesus again as if it were for the first time. But once again, what she finds surprises her.
Well, first of all, Jesus was much angrier than I expected him to be. I mean, I knew he got angry with all those money changers in the temple, but I really had no idea that he was so angry so much of the time. And very impatient. Jesus says that he speaks in parables because the people, they just don't understand anything else. But the parables are often foggy and meaningless, and Jesus is snippy when even the disciples don't get them. He says to them, if you don't understand this parable, then how can you understand any parable? And are you incapable of understanding? I kept thinking, don't teach in parables then.